ShopGood.com.
I think we have some late word of just arriving, and I'll interrupt to bring this to you. This is the latest disclosure in a report from National Civil Defense Headquarters in Washington. It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder. A widespread investigation of reports from funeral homes, morgues, and hospitals has concluded that the unburied dead are coming back to life and seeking human victims. It's hard for us here to believe what we're reporting to you, but it does seem to be a fact.
Chief, if I were surrounded by 6 or 8 of these things, would I stand a chance with them?
Well, there's no problem. If you had a gun, shoot them in the head. That's a sure way to kill them. If you don't, get yourself a club or a torch. Beat them or burn them. They go up pretty easy.
Well, Chief McClellan, how long do you think it will take you until you get the situation under control?
Well, that's pretty hard to say. We don't know how many of them there are. We know when we find them, we can kill them.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
You. This is your hero, Mark Birrell, once again on a Tuesday afternoon, giving you the very best that I can. I know it's not enough. I know we need more than 1 hour, but hey, such as it is, I love being with you. And let me tell you, that is an understatement. We may be alive, but we are very messed up, as far as I'm concerned. And here we are, a couple of days after November 29th, which, by the way, is the date that the Warren Commission was formed in 1963 after President Kennedy's death. And it's also the 100th birthday of Marie Lazenby. I want to extend a very 100th birthday anniversary celebration to Marie. I know she looks 29, I know it, but she's 100. Take it from me. Marie Goober says hey. And we're going to move on toward a Biden administration, the swearing in on January 20th. So this will be my last mention of both Chuck and Jeff in Newport Richey. I know where they are. I know how to get a hold of them. I have their emails, and in one case, their phone number. But no, I haven't heard from them, and neither have any of our WMNF listeners. They're suddenly, since November 3rd, very absent from the talking scene, much less the accountability scene. Will Trump concede? That's the question. That's not a question for this show. That seems to be the fascination of the major media outlets. I'm not fascinated with it, and I could care less whether he concedes or not. It seems to me that in view of what's best for our country, that would be the thing to do. But whoever thought that this guy, our president, was there for the benefit of anyone except himself? So we are approaching the inauguration day with words of, I don't know, planning? Did you hear that our president, President Trump, is planning to have a rally on the day of the inauguration? Maybe to compete with it? I don't know. Who knows? He could have the biggest rally ever. Or at least he can claim it. He certainly tried it with the inauguration, but that didn't work. Too much evidence. And I'm just wondering, with our votes, it seems that we have tired of this act. But there were 70 million people plus that voted for Trump. Surprising to me. Even though Joe Biden got 9 million more votes. That's incredible. And what do you think about all this recounting? The recounting actually adds to Biden's total. So I'm leaving the phone and the discussion up to you. I'm doing it that simple today. Why? Because I'm lazy. I want to hear from you. And I know we're going to hear from the usual bunch of individuals that call the program. That's okay, but I like to hear of new voices. And I will prioritize those new voices. Call us here at 813-239-9663. That's the number to call if you want to join on Midpoint Talk with your hero, Mark Biro, on WMNF 88.5. And if you want to email me, I'll answer your email at dj@wmnf.org. That's the email address, dj@wmnf.org. Okay, I got all the stuff out of the way. I might as well get rid of the other stuff. Let's talk to Mike in Tampa. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mark.
I didn't get you up, did I?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
You had a call a couple weeks ago, said that he was going to give back money to Planned Parenthood. I would never bet on an election. I would never bet, period, on anything because I don't believe in it.
Right.
But, so I wouldn't bet on an election. But anyway, I just wonder if that caller knows that Planned Parenthood was founded by a eugenicist, namely Margaret Sanger, who believed in sterilizing and in some cases even exterminating people who she thought were of inferior gene pools.
Have you thought about it evolving into something much more than that?
Yeah, I think it could.
It could?
Yeah.
You don't think it has?
No, I don't think it has. I think it could, but it almost did with Hitler.
Okay. All right, Mike. There he goes. That's Mike's viewpoint. What about yours? 813-239-9663. Here is Fred in Tampa. Are you Fred?
Hey, Mark, how you doing? First time caller to your show.
Oh, good to have you, Freddie.
Hey, listen, I was remembering something a while back that Trump said he wanted to possibly set up America the same way Venezuela is split with two presidents. Do you think that's a valid possibility that he might try something like that?
No.
Take the answer off the air.
I know. The answer is no on the air. And
okay.
And it's something typical of this president to come up with something like that. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you never know what he's going to do. He's very unpredictable. And
we're rid of him after January 20th. We're rid of him and we can move on.
All right. Well, Mark, thank you very much for your time.
Not if he do like Bush did. And
house
the presidency.
Yeah, well, let's hope he doesn't try to steal.
Well, okay. Say hello to Barney for me, Freddie. All right, let's go to Jack in Tampa. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Mark. Mark, I'd like to talk just for a second about something that I saw on Court TV last night, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead. What is it? Make it quick.
Very quickly, it just had to do with the Floyd case, and it said that the medical examiner had said that there was enough fentanyl in his system that he would have died anyway. I was wondering if you have a comment on that.
Well, like most things you bring up, Jack, no, I don't.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that time-wasting endeavor. Here is Dan and Largo. Or John.
We're worried about the parties not being split evenly in the Senate, like over the Georgia election. But the Constitution makes no provision whatsoever for political parties. And those two political parties have abrogated the rights of individuals in the federal election law of 1971, in which they decided that people are rated according to their money, whether they're a corporation and whether they take bribes, and absolutely nothing to do with what's in the Constitution. You know, these two political parties make anti-constitutional rules.
Okay. And you're not happy about that, are you?
No, I'd like to see them look in the Constitution, see what the qualifications for federal office are, and qualify people according to that, like over 35, natural-born citizen. That wouldn't be hard to figure out, but these two multi-million dollar bribe-taking political parties not described in the Constitution make it illegal for a person who is described in the Constitution to advocate constitutional republic. You know? I don't like it. No, I don't like it at all.
Well, I don't blame you, sir. It sounds something very distressing. I'm sure you're doing something about it, right?
Yes, I've got a website. I've had radio shows. I've declared for office for 33 years, and I'm still rated subhuman, according to the Federal Election Commission.
Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate that Federal Election Commission would do something like that, but I appreciate your concern, sir, and thank you for calling. Here is Daryl in Tampa. Daryl?
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Real good, sir.
All this talk about money and money. Well, let me say something to the two Trump supporters who owe you money. Come on, don't welch. Pay up. Pay up. Restore our faith in Trump supporters. And let me just say this. If we happen to take those two seats in Georgia, now I know if you are a Trump supporter and we pass the bill to get the stimulus package out, you will not take that money. You put your money where your mouth is. You don't believe in it. You don't ascribe to that. Put your money where your mouth is. Do not take that money. That's all I wanted to say, Mark, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it, and the same to you. Well, we've had quite an interesting bevy of calls here at the outset of this program. This is Midpoint Talk with your hero, Mark Biro, and the number to call to participate is 813-239-9663 on WMNF 88.5. Let's go to hopefully saner calls. Here is Sharon in Sarasota.
Hi, Mark. Yeah, you've opened a whole can of worms out there by opening up the phones, I guess. But
well, maybe we'll go fishing.
I just feel that I'm not so worried about Trump anymore. It's the Republicans in the Senate and the Congress that just won't admit that, are too scared to admit that Biden won. And it's like, what are they afraid of? That's my main question. What are they so afraid of that Trump is going to do to them? He's only one man who's not very successful at anything he does. But for some reason, they think he's, you know, going to ruin their political careers, which if they thought that, then they really shouldn't be in office because they're supposed to be working for us and not for that guy.
Well, Sharon, I'll tell you a personal experience. A lot of my friends, a lot of them, more than I really want to say, they're all gone from Facebook now. They've abandoned that platform, and they've gone to, what's the other one? Parler. That's it. And they're all gone over there because they could talk to each other and comfort one another and not be challenged intellectually or otherwise. And that's where they go. They're all gone. They have no... Well, I'm sorry?
That's interesting. I have a lot of friends that were Trump supporters as well. They haven't left Facebook. And I haven't gone on the Parler platform at all to see what that's all about. I know what it is about, but I really don't care one way or the other what they think. I just worry about our Congress and our Senate.
Well, I'm the same with you, Sharon.
It boggles my mind that it seems like that they should be charged for treason. Then they should...
I think they thought about it first, charging us.
Right.
All right, Sharon, I really appreciate it. Let's talk to Freddy Boy in St. Pete. Hello, Fred.
Mark, how in the world are you today?
Real good, sir.
At the beginning of your show, you mentioned a lot of events that happened on November 29th.
Yes.
Well, I'm very disappointed in you because you didn't mention that November 29th was the 39th anniversary of me and my wife's wedding.
Wow. I missed that one.
I knew you did, Mark. I just had to pick on you, buddy.
Oh, that's okay. Everybody does.
I love your show.
I appreciate it. Happy anniversary.
Keep on carrying on, Mark.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, Mark. Bye.
Just so you know, that's my wedding anniversary, too, by the way. Jackie and I, 28 years. I don't know that we celebrate it anymore. But anyway, here is Michael in St. Pete.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, actually. I'm actually working, so I can't tell you what I'm doing, but I'm driving a van, making deliveries. I'm headed back to my warehouse to pick up more stuff, but I know you're a big, like, a wrestling boxing guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my Uncle Larry used to be a sergeant in the St. Peter's Police Department, and he used to run the security when they used to have the wrestling at the Bayfront Center.
In St. Pete.
In St. Pete, and I got to meet all those guys. Steve Kern, the Briscoe Brothers, Dusty Rhodes. Of course, a lot of them live here. A lot of them live on the beaches, and they still do. But it was so great because I used to be able, since he was the head of security, I could go back in the locker room.
Yeah, that's a nice treat.
Yeah. Anyways, there was a caller you had back. He was talking about how Congress or the federal government they're not performing their constitutional duty, and it is true, especially when the Senate didn't approve of Obama's pick or didn't even hold a hearing. They should have been brought up on treason charges, but that's a different subject. But they've abrogated their constitutional wall on declaring war, and they've given it over to the president. And Congress, I don't know exactly when, but 9/11, I guess, they've abrogated the wars. They're supposed to declare wars and finance it and budget it, and they don't do that anymore. And it's really bad for our country. It's very, very bad because the people don't have a say. You put in somebody like Trump, thank God he hasn't taken to a war, not yet. He's probably going to declare war on Iran before he gets his office, which is bad. But
well, we put him there. And all the people that failed to do what you are requesting are people we put in office. So I don't know where to go from there. You know, we need to correct that. Here is 49er Mike in St. Pete. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Real good.
Okay. I have to say that reports that the demise of the 49ers have been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, they came from behind the other night.
They really did. So, what I wanted to mention was an article in the Sunday New York Times Magazine 2 weeks ago by Jonathan Mahler. The title is, Can America Restore the Rule of Law Without Prosecuting Trump? There's a lot of discussion in the press about that issue.
That's a good subject.
It's a very important issue, described as a historic dilemma for Joe Biden. I know he doesn't want to do it.
I don't know that he doesn't want to do it, but he can't be seen even gearing it, as guiding it. I don't think he'll stop it if the Justice Department pursues it.
Well, that's a good point. I think that's a possibility for sure. And his vice president is a prosecutor.
Yes, she is.
So that's a possibility. this article also quoted a professor of law from the University of Texas Law School saying that breaching the law is not a political difference, referring to the idea that an electoral defeat should be punishment enough. But this article suggests that that is not enough, and that without accountability, healing may be impossible. And I agree with that.
Yeah, I like to see accountability.
Yes, I think so.
And it has nothing to do with being vindictive. But, you know, I don't know what you do with people who are just bad sports, to put it lightly.
Well, that's a very bad failing of being a bad sport.
Yeah, it is.
Now, there are three points that I'll sum up with about prosecution. And I think what prosecution of Trump and his administration would achieve is, first, it would restore the rule of law. Second, it would discourage a Trump clone from trying a rerun in the next election. And it would demonstrate, I think, the seriousness of Trump's crimes to the voters, and in particular the people who voted for him.
Well, the ones that care. The ones that care, because all the evidence has been there for a long time, and they don't seem to care.
No.
But I'm with you. I like definitive studies that prove beyond, you know, the shadow of the doubt what's going on. I'm with you, Mike.
Oh, I'm glad. Right.
Not with the 49ers, but I am with you.
Well, good. I also root for the Bucks because it's bad form not to root for the home team.
That's right. And if you don't, it's a shame.
Yes, exactly.
All right, okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Mikey. You're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5 with your hero, Mark Biro. Here is the number, 813-239-9663. Here is Rosemary in Tampa. Hello, Rosemary.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Real good.
Wonderful. Did you mention that you had a bet going on with some individuals that are not paying you now or something like that?
Yeah, it's been going on for 4 weeks.
Oh, I too have a bet.
You do?
Yes, but the bet will become payable on Inauguration Day. Because unlike you, I believe that Trump is not going anywhere, that Biden really is not going to hold office.
Is that right?
Yeah, not because I'm in favor of him.
Yeah, I know, but how do you think he's going to be able to stay in?
He's just not going to physically leave. And he has support. He has how many millions of people? And the people that support this guy are the ones that own the guns. I truly believe that I wouldn't put it past him to take us into like a mini civil war, because it's not going to last very long. But I mean, I think that his supporters are so enamored with him that and they truly believe all the gaslighting, that all the lies. I mean, I just.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just so disappointed in people.
Yeah, it's exasperating, but don't give up. all I say is try to keep a positive thought in mind. That's what I do.
Hey, Mark, can I ask you, what was the bet for?
Who was going to win the election?
Money or?
Yeah, it was money, a lot of it.
Oh, look at that. Okay, well, good for you. I'm glad you won.
Oh, yeah.
I hope these guys pay up.
I already collected over $1,000.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I had a lot of money on it.
Okay, cool.
I didn't think it was going to be that close, and it wasn't. It just took a while to add up the votes. Thank you, Rosemary. Let's go to Danny. Danny in Tampa. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Mark. Rosemary, don't worry. He's leaving. He just doesn't know it yet, or maybe he does know. Even if it takes a crane to get that fat ass out of there, we're going to get him out of there, okay? Don't worry about it. And as far as his followers, he'll be met with a lot of followers from the so-called military, if that happens, and so forth, from the government. So don't worry. He's leaving.
By the way, Danny, have any of your Trump friends been talking to you a lot about this election?
No, because basically I don't have too many Trump friends at all.
Okay.
Except maybe one or two like acquaintances.
Yeah.
I know one that's a chulo, and he's more of an acquaintance than a friend, but a real good acquaintance that he's already conceded and saw a friend of ours that we know, and that's already been settled. No money wise, no bet wise.
Right.
So you know, I wonder, has anybody seen our old friend Chuck?
Well, we haven't heard or seen of him.
Oh, wow, it's amazing. I haven't heard from him. How about Jeff?
Neither have we heard from him.
Yeah, and I told you about my Welcher friend, I believe I won't hear from him either. I'll tell you, Mark, you know where, did you see where Christopher Krebs, now, yeah, I saw him today, now he says, Chris Krebs says, as a reply to Joseph Degenerate, saying that he should be shot.
Yeah.
He says now that he's going to go ahead and pursue all legal action he can against DeGeneva.
Yeah, that's a good one. That guy's a low life from the beginning.
A low life from way back. I remember him way back in the impeachment. Him and his wife, Victoria Tensing.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They're still together.
Yeah, you better believe they're together. You know, Mark, this is unbelievable. I mean, this Trump actually accusing Kemp, the governor of Georgia, the guy who's the biggest pro-Trump guy, of being involved, and then calling, and then Maria Bartiromo, who was once the whiz woman of Wall Street, okay?
Yeah.
Here she is, just going along. It's almost like you sit there, like Brian Stelter said, does she actually believe this? And she's like, oh yeah, oh, this is disgusting, Mr. President. And Lou Dobbs, well, Lou Dobbs is up his butt so far. Lou Dobbs is another ass kisser. I mean, these people, are they sick, just as sick as Trump?
Well, I wouldn't worry about it anymore. It's over.
Oh, it's over. Like my sister says, it's over. My sister says she couldn't care less what he does. Hold a rally on the inauguration day, dance naked in front of his supporters. Okay.
Well, I would care about that.
Yeah, that's a side I wanted to take out of my... But
yeah.
That's a view. That's a bad picture there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so anyway, all these people, I wonder what Ivanka is going to do now. She's going back to New York. Like you say, we couldn't care less about... We know that Joe Biden is going to be the president. He's going to be inaugurated January 21st, and that is it for him, for Trump, Mark. And I tell you what, it's just no word to describe what's going on.
I couldn't end a call on a better note, Danny.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And let's go. Yeah, I'm not that concerned about this kind of stuff. Mike and Brandon. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing there, Mark?
All right, sir.
You know, with the election, I made a couple bucks off of it, but what I didn't expect, and I don't know how many other callers had this happen, but I believe I lost a 43-year relationship with one of my best friends.
Well, you really have to wonder what that friendship is based on.
Well, I thought it was based on a lot of things, but, it started with a misunderstanding, a common name. One of my cousins was saying some stupid crap, and my best friend took it the wrong way. If he didn't read the full thread on the Facebook post, but that doesn't matter. I'm wondering how many people have lost fantastic friendships over this this individual. I mean,
well, I tell you, for me, it has been very revealing. You know, much more revealing than I had ever hoped to see some of my friends who have shared the same experiences that I have, for them to be such pro-Trump people. It's very disgusting for me.
I agree with you, my friend. I agree with you.
All right, Mikey, I appreciate the call and the support and the listenership. You're listening to Midpoint Talk with your hero, Mark Biro, and your telephone calls at 813-239-9663. Here is Ron, West Tampa Ron. Hello, Ronnie.
Oh, buddy. How you doing, Mark?
All right.
You know, they are dead. They are
all messed up.
And I'll tell you, no more evidence of that is apparent than kind of like what you said. Where are they all? I mean, they're all playing hide-and-seek like Bigfoot. You know, Bigfoot is known to be the hide-and-seek champion because everybody has seen Bigfoot, but they've never really seen him.
Yeah.
I have met many people, and like Danny and others have said, I have a few acquaintances that are in support of our president, who's still our president. But where are they? You know, where are they? And a shout-out to Ray Garcia. Ray, thank you for loaning me the book. You know, Too Much and Not Enough, the Mary Trump book.
Oh, that's a great book.
I'm not even done reading it, but I will tell you that it is extremely fairly written, Mark.
Very well written.
People who have said, oh, no, she's got an axe to grind. Well, you know what? Yeah, she does. But despite that, she has written this book with a very even-handed approach.
Yes, she has.
A very fair approach.
And I don't think anybody reading it can say from those experiences they wouldn't feel the same.
What she went through, seeing her father being literally destroyed, her father, Fred Trump Jr.,
yeah,
being destroyed the way he was psychologically by his father, Fred Sr., and by Donald.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just what she went through there, Mark, is exemplary of a person who has dealt with all kinds of going through hell, and yet she came out of it with a very classy, very, very stable mind, and I respect her. You know,
what about her nephew having to go through the abandonment of health care and everything by Trump pulling all that away?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Trump is, of course, to this day, and once he leaves office, he remains a prime candidate for massive tax evasion charges by the IRS. Okay, that's pointed out in some detail, some in this book.
Yes.
And also by David K. Johnson.
Yes.
So, I just want to say he's trashing everything on the way out, just like the ecological rules I've pointed out. And this man, Trump, is licking his wounds. He has hurt feelings, and he does not know how to deal with rejection and defeat. And this is the first time that he has been, I'll say, slapped down by life while the people have voted against him and rejected his mandate. So that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing a guy who is in free fall. So it's going to be very interesting. And like one of your callers said, I think about all the supporters he has who are out there, and they're just foaming at the mouth, wanting to do something for their Führer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very strange. Very strange.
Right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate it very much. West Tampa Ron. Let's talk to Peter and Brandon. Hello, Peter.
How are you doing, Mark?
All right.
So I wanted to respond to the gentleman who was talking about, you know, me losing a friend over this.
Yeah.
Literally, my brother-in-law and my wife, you know, fairly close, talk all the time, but he's a fervent Trump supporter and obvious and conspiracy theorist. And honestly, ever since Trump has been in office, we have not communicated with him in four plus years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about now?
Now, honestly, he's one that we still don't talk to him because he's, you know, reposting on Facebook. Oh, it's stolen election, it's fraud, and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it's just bad. But, I mean, both my wife and I are retired military, and we have friends that, you know, I mean, yes, I will say Trump did some good stuff with the VA and so forth, but, you know, literally, he also messed stuff up that was put in, you know, into place as far as our health care and stuff like that. And we have friends that, same thing, they're just fervent supporters that, even though a couple of them have literally had their disability overturned through the VA, and they still support him.
Very sad, Peter. I agree. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Gary in Tampa. Hello, Gary.
Well, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my call. We have to look to the future, and we got to build on that. And at the same time, Tampa, I might have said this recently on your show, the gravy train does run from Washington, D.C. to Tampa, and I'll give you an example. We're all concerned about a few things: quality of life, clean water, clean energy, transportation, and infrastructure. And a couple of years ago, somebody did a survey and found out that of the 72 neighborhoods in Tampa, 30 of them were low income. Well, somebody by the name that was a former county commissioner, Mark Sharp, did that building uptown idea. That's kind of an up-and-comer, right? So how do elected officials in Hillsborough County and former elected officials, are they on board with what's going to happen next year? Because if they are there going to be people sitting at the table and getting things done? Just wanted to leave you with that, and I look forward to the future, and maybe Ray LaHood, who had a symposium right after the election on law and transportation. A lot of people in the Obama administration will admit to that, and let's see what happens.
I agree. That's a good thing to look forward to. Let's talk to Jim in St. Pete. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Mark. Just a couple of things. You and I are the same age, and I'm sure that you remember as well as I do that Richard Nixon got reelected. So people ask, where did all these people go? Where have they gone? They've gone back under the same rock with those people who voted Richard Nixon in the second time. And Joe Scarborough, I have mixed feelings about Joe Scarborough, but he is consistently saying, consistently calling what has happened a coup, a coup, a coup, a coup. He just keeps saying it. And nobody else is saying such a thing. You know, it's just, it's like they can't bring themselves to use the word. It's like fascists. They can't bring themselves to use the word. We need to not forget these things. If we do, if we forget, they come back again and again. That's all I need to say.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling in. You're listening to Midpoint Talk with your hero, Mark Biro, 813-239-9663. That's the number to call here at WMNF if you want to get in on the program. You can email me at dj@wmnf.org. Let's go back to the phones, back to the fun. Here is Ned. Go ahead, Ned.
How you doing? I just wanted to bring up something you're talking about, people not getting along with the Trumpsters. I was in a convenience store about 2 weeks ago, and a young guy in there, I'm in my 60s, didn't like what I was saying and challenged me to go outside.
So you're kidding.
I went outside, I was trying to defuse the situation. He started swinging a flashlight at me.
A flashlight?
Yeah, big flashlight. So
maybe he wanted to see where his punch was going to land.
Well, so then I realized it was a serious thing, and he's in his 30s. I'm 62. I don't think he'll be bothering people again, put it that way. But I'd never been attacked by anyone before with a weapon. And here I am in my 60s, and because he doesn't like my political views, he decides he's going to take the old man out. So when I left the store, the only smart thing I could think to say was, tell your friends you just got beat up by your grandpa.
Ah. Well, did anybody at the store come out? The manager of the store?
They came out, and they were swearing at me and calling me a maniac. It's unbelievable.
They're calling you a maniac.
Yeah, yeah. They're all Trumpsters in the store, evidently.
They're all messed up.
But at my age, I never thought I'd be brawling.
Yeah, it's very, very sad, Ned. Sorry to hear that.
But anyway, thanks for your show. I like it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I hope the show didn't spur you to start throwing punches. Here is Carl in Dunedin.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Good. Just a brief comment, and then I'd like to hear your opinion on it. You know, there's different variations of crime families around the world. And it's my belief that based on the past and what we've seen the last 3.5-4 years, that's what Trump heads a crime family. And I think you don't have to dig too deep. Look at his attorneys, and he's got people in the government that are helping him run his crime family. That's my comment.
Okay, I really don't have much to add on that, except to say, having seen him up close and personal, I don't disagree. There's just too much evidence to show that he's one that admires the criminal touch that means so much to him. I've been looking at a lot of old Untouchable programs on TV, and man, there's something very reminiscent to the style exhibited on that show. Here is Danny in Largo. Hello, Danny.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, sir.
I got a couple things. You know, the American people, or at least Democrats, or people that would like to see change, need to still worry about. On December 14th, the electoral vote is going to be certified.
Right.
And that, you know, that scares me, because after a few elections recently, you don't know where they're going to land, where they were bought out. So I hope they will, you know, vote the vote, because that's how it's established. And then the second thing is that everybody should be scared of January 6th when we have the elections in Georgia, because if we have a complete Republican House, then all we got is President McConnell. So people need to get out.
Well, you mean the Senate. The Senate races.
Yes, the Senate. Yeah.
Well, let me just say this, Danny. I think you worry too much. Things are going to happen, and we just have to be vigilant and be productive. And by all means, all the people in Georgia need to show up and vote. That's all.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Well, I'm glad you do. Not many people do. Okay, here is James in St. Pete.
How you doing, sir?
Real good. How about you?
Pretty good. I'm a Christian, and I really appreciate your show, but I wish one day you decide to have a show where we can balance that shameless idea that brought up, especially in the era of Trump, you know, because the church was a disgrace, not just to the American people, but to the world. To see how a lot of spiritual leaders drop their standard just to embrace chaotic power, unhuman statement, and a lot of things. And I wish one day that we can, you can have a subject where at least the church can clear their name. People that really believe in God can stand and talk about God, but the people that believe in racism, misogynist, and all the other things, you know, and I'm an immigrant also.
Well, you just advocated for the right side of Christianity, James. I appreciate the call. Here is Camelia in Clearwater. Hi.
Hi there. I just happened upon this radio station the other day, and I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am, first of all, that you guys are here.
Well, thank you.
And so there's two things that I wanted to mention. The first thing is the whole debate about masks. It's ridiculous. We have seatbelts in our cars that, in as far as I know, it's probably federally mandated that people wear seatbelts. I know it's local ordinances everywhere. You have to have a seatbelt. It's for our safety as well as the safety of others. And so, you know, I don't see why wearing a mask is any different than wearing a seatbelt. I was
Well, why do you think that the mask debate is as it is? Who do you think is responsible for putting masks in such a questionable state?
Exactly. You know, a president should be somebody that our children look up to. It used to be, you know, you want to grow up and be president someday. Be like the president. Be gracious. Be professional. Be respectful. Be respectable. And this president, and my greatest fear is our children are learning that dishonesty and bullying and being nasty to people is acceptable behavior, and it's not. I would not accept that behavior from my children when they were growing up or my grandchildren. How can we possibly accept this from a president? It was shameful. I went into a food store, and this young man walked in. He was not wearing a mask. I said, "Hey, honey, where's your mask?" And he went off on me so terribly that I'm a 54-year-old woman. Okay, he was a very, very young black gentleman, and he went off on me so bad he threatened to go get his girlfriend and come back with a gun and shoot me. Oh. And I said, "Honey, I said, listen, I don't know you, but I love you and I care about you, and I don't want you to get sick." And then my mother ended up dying, and I ended up defusing the situation, and he apologized, and it was fine. But it could have gone so much more the other way. I lost my mother to COVID in a Texas nursing home on September 16th, and the funeral was done remotely over Zoom,
yeah,
services, and the burial was done over Facebook Live. And, I mean, what a terrible way for my family to have to say goodbye to my mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, the conspiracy theories going on. I mean, the insanity, it's just insane. I mean, honestly, to believe this kind of stuff, I have a roommate who is extreme Trumpster, and he was telling me there's going to be a coup and all this stuff, and they're going to take over the White House. And he goes, "Look at this YouTube video." And I'm watching this YouTube video, and the lady speaking was saying one thing, and they were showing these Zoom meetings and the chats and the paperwork from the Zoom meetings and whatnot. But if you took this lady's voice out and you paused and you looked at the conversations, they were actually people that were teaching people to protest safely, how to stay safe, how to keep your other people safe, how to prepare to make sure that you're properly hydrated, how to prevent a coup if you see something that looks like that happening. It was exactly the opposite of what this lady was narrating. She was adding her own narrative to something that was completely the opposite of what she was saying.
Sounds like an old tactic. That happens a lot, Camelia. I really appreciate you pointing that out and joining our station and listening to our programs. Here is Charles in Bradenton.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Good, I'll be real quick. I really appreciate the comments that the caller who just got off made about the way she handled the situation with the young man.
Yes.
Her response was really a high level of consciousness. He was operating pretty low level of consciousness there with his response, but she was able to offset that with,
yes,
her more evolved position. Just a brief comment about this scuttlebutt, if you would, about the possibility of Biden pardoning Trump if he doesn't succeed at doing it himself.
Nah, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, well, at any rate, in my humble opinion, I don't see any positive that could come out of pardoning Trump, because the people who support Trump, most of them are not interested in the truth or in facts at all.
No, they're not. They don't care about much.
No, except having their way.
Yeah,
which is very tragic. So I think he needs to face the music. He's, in my opinion, he's a career criminal, and he's a despot. And the more you give despots a break or allow them to have
they'll take the arm.
Yeah, they just do. I mean, they just get more emboldened. I mean, Hitler, when he started the whole process of World War II and going into Poland and other places, the more they let him do things, the more emboldened he became. So I think Trump needs to face the music.
Thank you, Charles. I appreciate it. I'm with you. Here is Mark in Largo. Hello, Mark. Welcome to Midpoint.
Good afternoon, Mark. Good afternoon. I went shopping last week at Walmart here in Largo, and I encountered about four people not wearing a mask inside the facility. I went shopping there this morning to get some coolant for my vehicle, and I go in there and I see about the same story, four people or so not wearing a mask. I seen the same guy twice not wearing a mask. So I decided to do the right thing. I asked the gentleman, "Hey, wear a mask." And I must have said it too loud because nobody was keeping their distance, and other people overheard me. Next thing I know, I had four people jump on me, verbally jump on me. "You don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me what to do." I'm like, wow, this ain't right. This makes no sense. And one lady who jumped in, she started swearing at me, cussing me out big time. I finally, at the end, I said, "Eat blank and die." And I walked out.
Sounds very compassionate, Mark.
I got perturbed.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
I know. I normally am pretty level-headed, but I got jumped verbally by four people. This is uncanny. This makes no sense at all. But it signifies that there is a huge divide in this country, and it's sad. I mean, people don't know how to take care of themselves, and all they want to do is think for themselves. They don't give a darn about anybody. Anybody's kind of like the lady you talked to a minute ago. Her mother died. You know, these guys, they don't care. They think they're all important and nothing else matters.
Well, that's why we have to keep our heads and not let them bait us into that kind of reaction. Sorry you had that trouble. My thing is, the store ought to be taking care of that. I don't know. What do you think? Here is, just called in. Let's get Dave and Parrish in here. Hello, Dave.
Hello, and thank you for what you do.
Well,
I just want to make a couple of comments. First, the way I handle it, I tell people I wear a mask to show I am not a Trump supporter. And then I also, when I see somebody without a mask, I ask them if they have the antibody. And when they, I don't, I said, put a mask on, please. That's how I do it. And, you know, I try to do it as nice as I can, but I live in Manatee County. You can't, four people, he said, in Walmart, I can't find four with a mask.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Here. We're going up every single day. We have 50 to 100 more, and we don't have a mask mandate.
It's very sad. I agree with you, Dave. Thank you for your call. Let's talk to Mark in Tampa. Hello, Mark.
Hey, I just don't want, this is so funny. A bar I've been going into for 50-some years, I happened to voice my opinion the other day, and one guy got pissed off, got up, and walked out. You're too loud. So a couple of days later, this other guy I knew, hey, man, people don't like you in here anymore. I go, oh, really? I said, well, that's been going on all my life. So just so the people know what's going to happen on Inauguration Day, Trump will be trespassing, and federal marshals will go in there and take him out of there. And the Secret Service say, hey, that's not our job anymore. He's not president.
So well, you don't have to worry because he's not going to the inauguration. Believe me, he won't show up. Listen, I want to thank all of you for calling and participating, especially Barbara Fling, who was our phone producer. She does such a great job. I tell you, I really admire Barbara. And in the tradition of Jan Simpson, she's professional. They're coming to get you, Barbara. Rob Lori produced this program. Super Nola will be sitting in this chair on Wednesday, the Wednesday edition of Midpoint. I hope you'll join him. He's terrific. Kwaku comes on after top of the hour news with African Safari. This is your hero, Mark Biro, saying, I'm just disgusted. I love you, and I'm on my way.
I'll play the fool, but as a rule, I cover that grace. I'm on my way, I cannot stay another day. I'm on my way, I cannot stay another day. I'm on my way, I cannot stay another day.
This is WM.